What a gracious God. Mercy triumphs over what? I said mercy triumphs over what? Now, y'all should have that by now, so it's okay. You can talk to me in this church. Mercy triumphs over
judgment.
Mercy triumphs over judgment. God is so worthy of our praise. He is so gracious. He is so good. I want to know if you're in love with Jesus this morning. You sure? Amen. Where we're going to go this morning is we're going to take a look at having a life that outlives you. Go ahead, Pat. Live a life that outlives you. Life that outlives you. Every one of us have opportunity to pass on the torch, the flame of what burns inside of you. What is burning inside of you this morning? Is your heart on fire for Jesus? The passion for Jesus? Are you willing to overlook the stupid stuff so you can come and worship in the presence of God and reach out to people that need Him? What burns inside of you, and what is it that you are going to pass on to other people who need Him? What are you doing with your life that will outlive you? What leaves its imprint in your life? We talked about some of these things last week. We're going to touch on a couple of them and go on this morning with a couple of others. But what has changed you? What's changed society? How can we make a life impact that will change life? You go, Pastor Kev, I'm not looking that tall. I don't need to look that big. All of us need to look beyond our own life. Because people are watching, people will see, people will hear. You have family, children, grandchildren, or relatives who are looking on whether you see it or not, and they're seeing how you conduct yourself in this time. Do we have faith? Do we really have faith? Do we trust Him? Again, Pastor Sherry said, we're not wearing this stuff out of fear. We're wearing it out of love and respect for other people, and right now it's the law. Whether it should be or not, that's another story, but it is. And we're able to be back together. And praise God we're able to be back together. And we love our friends who are joining us on Facebook Live as well. And so glad to have you here. And Daria, thank you for being here. God bless you all. Life-impacting events. But before we get there, I want to talk about a little phrase you may have heard something about. I've mentioned it earlier if you're watching Facebook while we weren't together. And it's called a black swan event. A black swan event. And that phrase comes from the Romans in the 2nd century. From the 2nd to the 17th century, out of Europe, any of the writings that spoke about swans only recognized, and in fact they declared, there were only white swans. In the 17th century, a Danish explorer came into an Australia place by the coast and lo and behold, discovered black swans. And that became a life-altering circumstance that changed everyone's thinking. A black swan event has been called a low probability, high impact event. Low probability. Never expected it to happen, but totally high impact. The greatest black swan event of our entire lifetimes and in the history of the world is the incarnation of Jesus Christ. Come on, amen. The incarnation of Jesus, all of human history is determined by how you relate or respond to Jesus. That's the master black swan event, if you will. And there's lots of things that have happened in our lifetimes right here in America just from the 1960s on. John F. Kennedy. The assassination of President Kennedy was life traumatic, life altering for our nation. Does anybody beside me ever wonder what would have happened had Camelot continued? It was called the Days of Camelot, what he might have accomplished. But November 22nd, 1963 in Dallas, Texas, his death was drawn by Lee Harvey Oswald firing 3 shots from the 6th floor window of the Texas School Book Depository. Now, There have been things that have raged since then saying other shooters must have been present, but it's never been proven. It's never been set up as truth. There are a lot of theories. But regardless, Lee Harvey Oswald was arrested. But 2 days later, I was watching TV. How many were watching TV and you saw Jack Ruby walk up or run up and shoot and kill Lee Harvey Oswald? And I remember as a kid turning to my parents going, what is going on? And everybody terrified that we were going to have war in our streets and in the world. Now, before his death, President Kennedy had proposed civil rights legislation, and it was completely bogged down. But President Johnson, who stepped in behind him, used the traumatic events and the feeling in the nation to then pass sweeping civil rights legislation and outlawing discrimination based on race, religion, sex, or national origin. So it brought forward the civil rights movement. And how many remember the bootless horse, or the horse with a bootless rider, and the boots are backwards? That's all about the person who has passed on, and this is used for great generals or for presidents who have died. Ronald Reagan had this as well. It's all about the person who rode looking back toward life and what had been accomplished. You and I will someday face looking back toward our life and wondering, what did we accomplish? What did I do? Did something happen in me, through me, to me that I pass on to the next generations? What have I done? What am I doing with my life that will impact those who outlive me? Then there was the Beatles invasion. Come on, show of hands. How many remember the Beatles invasion? Oh, are there some of you who don't remember the Beatles? Okay, very much. Incredible. February 7, 1964, they stepped off the airplane in New York, and all of music history, all of music changed. There was a demarcation line, and you cannot deny the impact. Whether you liked it or not, whether you thought it was terrible music, perhaps your favorite is classical, no problem. I love lots of different styles of music. But this changed all of music for all of history. Their songs are among the most recorded in history. As of 2009, the Beatles were the best-selling band in history, with sales estimated at over 600 million records sold throughout the world. The Time has listed them on the list of the 20th century's 100 most important people, and that's four of them out of the 100. As of June 19, the song Yesterday. Anybody remember the song Yesterday? Come on, everybody, show of hands. Let's see. Are you alive and alert and enthusiastic? Okay, I'm alive and alert, not enthusiastic. But Yesterday was remaining one of the most covered songs in history. Over 2,200 versions of that song have been recorded. Their last concert was on the rooftop of Apple Studios, January 30th, 1969, and broke up in 1970. Martin Luther King. We talked a little bit about this last week. The assassination stunned us. April 4th, 1968. Bobby Kennedy's assassination, June 5th, 1968. President Reagan shot, March 20th, 1981. Scott Hinckley, has now been let out of prison as of the last few years. But he's the one who shot him with a .22, if you recall. Jim Brady was permanently damaged because of the shots from that .22. January 28, 1986, the Space Shuttle Challenger exploded. September 11, 2001, Twin Towers, flown into by terrorists. And lots of news organizations determined that they would never show these pictures again. But I think it's imperative that we remember what's happened in our nation. Flight 93 in Pennsylvania. How many remember the famous words of Todd Beamer? Let's roll. And the beat goes on again. God allowed these things to happen. There's a theological word that is called theodicy. Theodicy. And it basically means, it's an attempt to reconcile the power and goodness of God with the presence of evil in human experience. Theodicy. The question sounds like, how come if there's a good God, bad things happen? How many know what the answer is? It's because man and women make a choice. He created us with a personal choice, and we can choose to do right or choose to go our own way. And I want to talk for a few minutes about a group of people who help impact us with an image today of how we should conduct ourselves, because they made the right choice, and they're called the sons of Issachar from the Old Testament, the sons of Issachar. If you're taking notes, 1 Chronicles 12, verse 32. The sons of Issachar were one of the tribes. They would march along with Judah, and they were one of the tribes in Israel. Do we stop long enough, church, to ask, Lord, what are you doing? Why are you doing it? What's up? What are you doing? And we should be knocking on his door, praying in tongues, letting the Spirit pray through us. We should be seeking his face constantly as the fast, the Esther fast, a total fast, other kinds of fast, partial fast. We should be seeking the Lord, saying, what are you doing and how can I cooperate with you? Why did you allow this, Lord? What does it mean that spring and early summer of 2020 is completely full of calamity? COVID happens. People stay at home. Economic disaster, some opening, now closing again as some declare a second wave, unrest, riots, Antifa, and more. At the very least, church, it means that God is dealing with us, his people, and the nation. Say amen or oh no. 1 Chronicles 12:32, and the children of Issachar, which were men that had understanding of the times. Please repeat that with me. Had understanding of the times. To know what Israel ought to do. The heads of them were 200. All their brethren were at their commandment. According to the Targum, some Jewish declarations, written materials, this meant they knew how to ascertain the periods of the sun and the moon and how the months related and the dates of the solemn feasts. And they could interpret what was happening appropriately according to the Word of God. And that's what you and I should be able to do. Understand and interpret. God, what are you saying right now in this hour? God, give us this kind of wisdom today. Will you pray that with me? God, give us this kind of wisdom today. Why is he allowing this? Maybe there's still problems. Maybe that's why. We take a look around and we look at the stuff in the streets. And I know we talked about it last week. And the Antifa stuff that has co-opted the marchers' message is infuriating. It's wicked. The destruction that's trying to take place and killing and maiming and looting, it's wicked. But what about the message? Have we stopped long enough instead of being defensive and have we said, Lord, what are you saying? Lord, is there any racism in me? Not just, I want to know so I can act woke, but Lord, God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. That means he created all the colors. And he loves all the colors. And he wants us as his family to love one another. Somebody say amen in a real loud voice. Amen. John 17, Lord, let them be one as we are one. I want to talk for a moment about Martin Luther King again. And I know that I grew up hearing an awful lot of things declared. But he was incredibly used of God to bring the plight of the African Americans to the forefront of what was going on in our society. I dare you, if you never have, and you're a person who says, oh, don't like, I dare you to read his letter from a Birmingham jail, dated April 16th, 1963. You can find it online. It's long, but it is incredibly well written. And a whole bunch of people came out against him for his nonviolent walking, marching. And a whole bunch of white churches came out against him and said, oh, it's terrible, terrible timing. And he wrote a long, passionate, heartfelt letter from the Birmingham jail expressing his heartfelt, sincere issues as to why he was doing what he was doing and trying in a nonviolent way to bring the rights of freedom to the black Americans. In addition to the fact, you hear all through it, his heartbrokenness over the white church that he thought would stand with him. And they didn't. Do you know that across our land, a lot of the black churches believe that Martin Luther King Jr. led a revival and we missed it? If you can be unmoved by reading that letter online, I would like to invite you to call me as your pastor so I can pray that your heart will come back to life. I'm sincere. It is moving. Antifa, again, has co-opted a lot of the message, but here we stand as the people of God, and we need to say, okay, Lord, what are you saying to me? Where people are hurting, does Jesus run in or run away? Come on, talk to me, church. When people are hurting, does Jesus run in or move away? His heart moves in, and that's where our heart should be. Listen, learn, lament. We need to listen to their story. We need to learn from it. We need to learn from the storyteller. And we need to lament. We need to go before God and seek His presence and His forgiveness if we've been guilty. There's a white lady and black man. The white lady came to see me because inadvertently I had said something that became very hurtful and did not intend it, had no idea that I'd done it. She sat down with Sherry and I, and she was first very angry with me, and then I pursued it with her. I said, please come, let's talk. What did I say? How did I say it? What did I do? And she poured out her story. Everybody has a story. And she poured it out, and she said, you've never been driving down the street in Washington, D.C. because I was a white woman with a black man and had our car stopped every single block over and over and over again by angry people who thought we were up to no good. You've never faced that. And she went on to say thing after thing after thing. By the time she was done, I sat across from her. I wept, I cried, and I asked her forgiveness for being insensitive. So what? I'm just saying, I didn't think I had anything, but Lord, what are you allowing? What are you saying? What are you trying to change in each one of us? We're called an ambassador of reconciliation. Come on, say it real loud with me. An ambassador of reconciliation. What does it mean? Each of us, filled with the Holy Spirit, can seek God, can discern and hear from God. We can ask Him and we can keep on asking God, what are you up to? Come on, say it with me. God, what are you up to? Help me to help others. Bishop Mark Sharona, and a bishop simply means he oversees more than one church, a very biblical term. He oversees several churches. But Mark Sharona says these three questions. Where is Jesus? Where is He going? Am I going with Him? It's like the Abraham Lincoln quote. Abraham, President Lincoln is God on our side? And he said, it doesn't matter if God's on our side. What matters is if we're on the side of God. Lord, what are you doing? Where are you going? And I want to go with you. Help me be an ambassador of reconciliation. Psalm 90 verse 12 declares, so teach us to number our days that we may gain a heart of wisdom. Out of the New Living, it says, teach us to understand the brevity of our life. Out of the Passion, it says, help us remember our days are numbered and help us interpret our lives correctly. Set your wisdom deeply in our hearts so we may accept your correction. In the time that I have left, Lord, Show me so I can grow, and show me so that I can go, and show me that I can reach as many people as I can for you. If you'll turn in your Bibles to 2 Corinthians chapter 5. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verses 18 through 20. And I only have one of the verses up on the screen. 2 Corinthians 5, 18 through 20 tells us, God, who has reconciled us to himself through Jesus Christ and has given to us the ministry of reconciliation, God was in Christ reconciling the world to himself, not imputing their trespasses to them, and has committed to us the word of reconciliation. Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God were pleading through us. We implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. Out of the message, it says, God who settled the relationships between us and him, and then called us to settle our relationships with each other. God put the world square with himself through the Messiah, giving the world a fresh start by offering forgiveness of sins. God has given us the task of telling everyone what he's doing. We're Christ's representatives. God uses us to persuade men and women to drop their differences, and enter into God's work of making things right between them. We're speaking for Christ himself now. Become friends with God. He's already a friend with you. One of the best New Testament examples of reconciliation between the religions and races was in Antioch, where the Gentiles and the Jews became a beautiful family of God in their worship of him. But when we're reconciled, when we're reconciled by the Father through Jesus, the Spirit of God changes our heart, and we want to see everybody else be reconciled too, don't we? We want to see everybody else come to him and be reconciled and be his. You may have seen it in the past 2 weeks. I believe his name is Pastor Covington. I believe he's a very sincere man of God, a pastor of a relatively small church. The cousin of Pastor Dan Irish goes to his church. And this is a man who on Facebook posted, because he wanted to bring warning, about a series of dreams that he has had recently. Several of them, in successive rows, or day after day, happened prior to March. They were like January and February, several dreams that showed him in the dreams ambulances going to and fro and businesses and everything being shut down and people being sick, etc. Came to pass exactly as he had seen it in March through June. And before March through June was said, he saw a calendar that said March and a hand tapped on it. And it was underlined 3 times. March through June. Fulfilled exactly. In September through November, he's had another series of dreams about that time frame. He saw the calendar flip and underlined and a hand pointed at it several times. September, October, November. What he saw was pretty terrifying. A fist smashed into the calendar and the numbers went everywhere. He saw money just flying out of buildings and flames and burning buildings and riots. And he saw that coming to pass in September, October, November. Now, when it comes to interpretation of dreams, we need to understand the Bible doesn't teach us that those dreams are a predetermined outcome. We need to test the spirits. We need to take it to the Word of God. We need to look at the Word of God. God is not after us being terrified and full of fear. But God does bring warning to his people. And a warning doesn't need to be a predetermined outcome. Why else would God warn us through a dream if not to work with us for an answer? Come on, someone say amen. God brings us warning so our hearts can be responsive. A dream is not the same thing as the Word of God. It's not a predetermined outcome. But if we go to God, we work with God. And we, through prayer, move the hand that moves the world. Think of it. Just a couple of quick ones. Hezekiah, we just read it in our Bible study. Hezekiah was told by a prophet, a very faithful prophet, your life is ending. Your life will end. The Bible tells us he was laying on his couch. He turned to the wall and he broke and he cried and he wept and he asked God, please see the way my heart has been toward you. And he was one of the best of the kings in the Old Testament, Israel and Judah. And God stopped the prophet who was on his way out of the palace, gave him a new word and said, go back and tell him, God has heard your prayer, I have answered your prayer, and I will not take your life. You get an additional 15 years. How many believe God hears our prayers? Another simple one, just quick. You can find them all through the scripture. Jonah was sent with a message to the people of Assyria, to Nineveh. And he was to lead them to repentance if he could. He was to declare to them, the judgment of God is coming. And how many remember what Jonah did? Jonah so hated those people. And when you understand what they did to Israel through history, you can see why. But Jonah ran and ran away from God. He went on a boat. Storm happened. Everybody threw everything out into the sea. They were terrified. They were going to lose their life. And where was Jonah? Down in the belly of the boat, asleep. They woke him up and they said, what are you doing? Seek your God. And he goes, this is my fault. So they tried every which way to calm the boat in the storm. Couldn't do it. So they said, sorry, buddy. And tossed Jonah out, and the storm stilled. And he went from the belly of the boat into the belly of the whale. And after 3 days of tempering and saying, okay, God, you got me right where you want me. Anybody ever felt like that? God, you got me right where you want me. The Lord has the fish spit him out on the ocean shore, and he goes into Nineveh. And it takes him, I think, 3 days to walk through the city and declare the message. And instead of God destroying the people, which the message was, the people so turned, even the animals fasted, everybody. I mean, remember Neil Diamond's song about, bring the old ladies, the babies and the old ladies, Dr. Love's Traveling Salvation. Okay, there's some of you, I can't tell, but in your mass I can still see your eyes glaze over. So anyway, and so everybody, including the babies, the old ladies, the cows, everybody fasted and sought God, and God stayed the hand of judgment. What am I saying to you? Our God wants to bring salvation, healing, deliverance. If you're here this morning and you don't know Jesus, Jesus loves you so much, He knows exactly who you are. And life with Him is more than a 30-second prayer where you give your life to Him. But Jesus takes you in His arms and He wants to heal you from the inside out. He's a healing God, a loving God, a God who does deal with the nations and with people. But He wants to bring deliverance. So instead of walking in fear, let us drive. Let us hit our knees and run into the presence of God. Let us cry out and say, okay, Lord, what are you doing? What do you want me to do? How can I see where you are, see where you're going? How can I be involved in doing what you're doing? Can you pray that prayer this morning? Listen. Learn. Lament. Be a minister of reconciliation. Simply know, church, we should know most of all, out of a lot of churches, that our time in this place is limited. I'm not a negative preacher, I'm a positive preacher. But the reality is we have to face, what is it you're doing, Lord? And our time is limited on this earth. How can we live, care, and love in such a way that we leave a legacy behind us of people who come behind us knowing Jesus loves them and is their Savior and their Lord? And that this world can come to Jesus because God so loved the world that He gave. And then finally, keep praying. What can you do about all this? I want you to be urged and encouraged to keep praying 2 Chronicles 7, 14 and 15, and believe God with me for Him to hear. Would you please stand with me? If you'd stand with me and read these scriptures together, we'll pray and then we'll have communion. If my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and heal their land. Now my eyes will be open and my ears attentive to the prayer made in this place. Join me in prayer. Lord Jesus, we come to you now. We surrender and we yield to you. We love you and we come down. We humble ourselves. We ask you, O Lord, to have mercy on our lives and mercy that triumphs over judgment on our nation. We hear the dreams that have come. But Lord, you're bigger than the dreams. You're the God who hears our prayers. Stay the hand of judgment. Let healing flow through our streets, reconciliation, the blood of Jesus to prevail. O God, have mercy, we pray. And we believe you, Lord, that you will do what you've said. You will hear from heaven, and you will heal our land. In Jesus' name. And they all said, amen. Amen. You may be seated. And that's how you live a life that outlives you. All right, let's go to the Word of God, 1 Corinthians chapter 11. As we celebrate communion, and those of you who are watching at home, we've invited you to bring together the elements. As we do this, I want you to understand this is more than a tradition. There's an impartation of the presence of God that takes place as we participate in communion. And we understand that the bread and the juice, it's His body and His blood, and we partake of Him, and He changes our lives. Now, Pastor Sherry, if anybody else needs one of these, they can get them in a self-contained pack, right? If anybody still needs something? All right, very good. Very good. 1 Corinthians chapter 11 tells us, I received from the Lord that which I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the same night in which He was betrayed, took bread. When He had given thanks, He broke it and said, take, eat. This is my body, which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me. In the same manner, he also took the cup after supper, saying, this cup is the new covenant in my blood. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death till he comes. Therefore, whoever eats this bread or drinks this cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner will be guilty of the body and blood of the Lord. But let a man and woman examine himself and herself, so let him eat of that bread and drink of that cup. For he who eats and drinks in an unworthy manner eats and drinks judgment to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. For this reason many are weak and sick among you, and many sleep. For if we would judge ourselves, we would not be judged. If you have something in your heart as a difference between you and God, take care of it right now. If you have something in your heart that's a difference between you and another person, pledge yourself, commit yourself that you'll take care of it at your first opportunity as this meeting concludes. Let's pray. Let's make sure our heart's right and let's get ready to receive. Father, we thank you that this is done in remembrance of Jesus. Jesus, we thank you that you did so much. You took our punishment, our sicknesses, our sorrows, our griefs, our illnesses, all of the transgressions. You took them all on yourself on the cross of Calvary. You were bruised and beaten and battered so we don't have to be. The cost of our sins was put on you. We pray, Lord Jesus, that even as we partake of this bread, we do it in faith, doing this in remembrance of you and what you've done, and our hearts are so full of gratitude for you. We love you, Jesus. In Jesus' name, amen. So if you just want to peel back the very thin layer at the very top, it exposes the bread. Let's partake together. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. You are so good. You are so good, Lord. We remember you even as we participate together. Now let's strip back the fruit of the vine, the layer on top. Lord, as we participate in drinking the juice, the fruit of the vine, we see the blood of Jesus. The blood that ratifies the covenant we have made with you. Thank you for washing us clean by the blood of Jesus. We love you, Lord. We worship you. We do this in remembrance of you. Let's participate together. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Come on, somebody say amen. Thank you, Lord. You are so good, Lord. We worship you. It is a great joy to be in your house. We love you so much. Musicians, why don't you come on back up? Let's finish with one of these songs. Let's go back to Worthy of It All. Anybody learn anything from the Lord this morning?
Yeah.
Good. He does. He does take care of us. Amen. Let's stand together, shall we? We're going to go from the key of E, then to F, and then to G. You are worthy of it all. You are worthy of it all. For from you are all things, and to you are all things. You deserve the glory. You are worthy of it all. You are worthy of it all. For from you are all things, to you are all things. You deserve the glory. You are worthy of it all. You are worthy of it all. For from you are all things, and to you are all things. You deserve the glory. You are worthy of it all. All I praise, O Lord. You are worthy of it all. For from you are all things, to you are all things. You deserve the glory. Up to G. You are worthy of it all. You are worthy of it all. For from you are all things, and to you are all things. You deserve the glory. You are worthy of it all. You are worthy of it all. For from you are all things, to you are all things. You deserve the glory. Would you raise your hands to the Lord? Father, we thank you for this time we've had together in your house. We pray your blessing on each one as they go from this place. Let them go built up, strengthened, sensitive to you, Lord. More sensitive to you than ever. We believe you are wanting to do a supernatural move and awakening in this land. And let it begin with us, O God. We want to be used in your hand to be your vessels. And let us do with our lives that which lives beyond us, that which outlives us, bringing people your presence in your life. Lord, we thank you for this time. Bless each one now in Jesus' name, if you will receive the blessing. For I know the thoughts that I think toward you, says the Lord, thoughts of peace, not of evil, to give you a future and a hope. In Jesus' name. And they all said,
amen.
Amen. Now, we have Zoom meetings on Wednesday at 1 to 2:30. We invite you to be there. And also, we have Friday noon prayer on Zoom. We invite you to be there. Let Stephen know if you would like to have your email added to that list. We'd be delighted to have you with us. God bless you all. Be released in the presence of the Lord. Amen.